We're embarking on a voyage all through time and all through space.
Encountering Dalek, Stalinud, and the Cybertronic race.
Centaurans look like taters, and Silurians all have wonky scales.
And the Doctor has a TARDIS, we're reviewing all his tales. Who back when? Reviewing all of who there is. Who back when?
Subscribe and rate on iTunes, please.
Episode by episode, we're trudging down this temporal road. Come join us on this odyssey. What other choice could there be than
who back when?
Who back when?
Hello and welcome to a special bonus 50th anniversary episode of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast. I am Ponkin, and today I am not joined by Flappy as he is having laser tattoo removal to erase the Monoctera from the small of his back. I am, however, joined by two fantastic, actually three people today, starting with, on my immediate left, Gina.
Hello.
Oh my god, Gina Guerrero. And to her left...
And I'm JD.
JD! Oh my god! You will know them from their minis, and you probably also follow them on Twitter, and if you don't, you should. Also in the room, we have Peter, husband of aforementioned Gina.
Hello.
Who may be joining us in this conversation as well. And, oh my god, yes. Can I just say before we start off, I am so honoured that you're here. I'm so pleased that you want to do this bonus episode. I'm buzzing, partly because of the caffeine, but mostly because, holy shit.
I know.
You're here.
And we are happy to be here with you.
Yes, very much so.
This is awesome.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we went to the Doctor Who convention. We were at the Excel Centre. Mm-hmm. And, oh my god, first impression.
A lot of people.
Yes.
There was an awful lot of people there. There was an awful lot of very good cosplay.
Yes, there was.
You saw canines with flashing eyes
and spinning ears,
weeping angels, David Tennant from all ages, from 60 to 6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom Baker scarves everywhere.
So many scarves, so many fezzes.
And fezzes.
Oh my god.
Lots of fezzes and sexy Peter Davisons.
Sexy Peter. Mm. I saw a sexy Peter Davison and a sexy Tom Baker, mm-hmm. as in both female. I've never been so sexually attracted to Tom Baker in my life. Tom Baker looks great in a miniskirt.
And there is therapy you can go to fix that.
That's fine.
I can do that.
Actually, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gina, hook me up with some therapy.
Yes.
The convention itself, being sat in a room with 4,000 to 5,000 other people watching panels, watching... Mm-hmm. The classic Doctors and, you know, Matt Smith and Stephen Moffat was just very different from, you know, seeing all of these things at home. So it was a lot of people.
Yeah,
yes, it was a lot of people. And I think, too, being in a room with that many people who are just as obsessed with Doctor Who as we are was a fulfilling moment, I think.
Yeah, and some of the cosplays was very obscure. You know,
yes.
We've talked about the ones which are...
The obvious ones.
The famous, yeah. But, you know, we have, you know, a classic 1971 unit soldier. We mm-hmm. had modern-day unit soldiers.
Which I actually didn't see at all. I never caught the unit soldier.
Yeah, there was a couple of them around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had Dragonfire and Sabalon Glitz's costume,
mm-hmm.
Sarah Jane Smith's costume from Hand of Fear.
Saw that, yeah.
And it was so well done. Some of them mm-hmm. were so amazing in the detail
yes.
that they put into
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was great to see that many people obviously sharing the love that they have and mm-hmm. putting that much effort in.
Yeah. Well, okay, because we need to speed through this. We are currently in Gina's and Peter's hotel room and we're going to get kicked out in approximately 45 minutes. So let's speed through this. We need to talk about the panels
mm-hmm.
and maybe pick out our favourites. There were so many panels, actually, that we went to. But panels, stalls, maybe the best impression we had from any person, any celebrity associated
mm-hmm.
with the show that we saw, and we need to go through the night and day of the Doctor. Okay, so of the panels, did you have a favourite one? Was there anything in particular that sort of stood out?
The classic Doctor's panel, I think, was my favourite.
And that was Tom Baker, Sly McCoy, Peter Davison...
And Colin Baker.
And the lesser of the Bakers.
I would agree. I would actually agree totally with Gina on this one, that you had, having those four people on stage, you had, you know, the lesser of the Bakers, who was probably the least impressive of the four,
mm-hmm.
and you have Tom,
yeah.
who, Tom Baker, considering he's 190 now, it has such a dry wit,
yes.
such an, you know, obviously amazing love still for the show
mm-hmm.
that he supported, you know, it supported him for 7 years.
Not just that, I think he actually identifies himself as the Doctor very much, more so than anyone else. Mm-hmm. I mean, Matt Smith, I'm sure, thinks, you know, I'm the Doctor right now, but I'm going to be doing very different things very soon. Like, this is a gateway towards a different career, but for Tom Baker, even after the show, he's remained the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
The Doctor, as he said in the panel, he didn't have to play the Doctor. He was the Doctor.
Yeah.
He wasn't playing a part. This crazy old man that goes and has adventures. You know, they could have renamed the show Tom Baker at this point and no one would have noticed. You know, but then you had my Doctor. You had Peter Davison sat next to him. And Peter Davison, who's still got this love for the show, who, you know, went to Stephen Moffat and said, sure, I'll do something amusing for the 50th, and did the Five Doctors reboot spoof.
Which I haven't seen yet, by the way.
I haven't seen it yet. I saw a clip, though.
He has this love for the show that also goes beyond his time on the show, whereas Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy, you felt more that they were here to talk about their time on the show and that sort of thing, rather than, you know,
their love
of the show.
Okay, I have to agree, that was my favourite panel as well, but just to not be a complete copycat, my number two was Senior Citizen Susie.
Oh, gosh.
And
yes.
Absolutely ancient, practically mummified Ian.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Seeing Ian. By the way, did you see he was wearing a cardi?
Yes, he
like,
totally
he had
was.
He had his jacket on, but underneath that jacket
with
was a cardi. That guy is still a complete dude. And he was just fantastic man. He's aged, though. Like, he's gotten really old, and his voice has gotten super high-pitched, but he was so friendly.
I will remind you that the first episode was 50 years ago. You know, he wasn't a young man when he did it.
What was he, like?
I think he was 20, 25-ish. You know, he wasn't a young man. So we're talking about, you know, he's going on for 80.
Yeah.
You've got Carol Ann Ford, who's just above 70.
Yeah.
Still
oh my God, yeah, she's...
You know, in her tight pants.
In her tight pants.
She looked great.
You know, William Russell playing
Ian. Cracking ass before? Yeah.
You know,
still got it.
Still
he
there.
Was the first companion. He was the first person who you were meant to identify with. And playing a security guard in Adventure in Time and Space.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously came and loved doing these panels.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have Jacqueline Hill with us anymore or William Hartnell. And to still be able to have even two people from that first episode,
yeah.
To have people who remembered being there and filming on these ancient cameras and being almost live filming and the stories that they must have after that period of time.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, I can see why that would be, you know, one of the other panels you would have loved.
It was pretty fantastic seeing them. Susie doesn't seem to have changed at all, by the way.
No. I found interesting when she was talking about how she wishes she could have played more feisty.
I know. Did you find that was maybe a little bit... There was a certain sadness to that.
Yes.
Like, there was a lot of regret.
Regret, definitely. Because she seemed... She kept saying that I was a dancer and I was a gymnast.
And
I
an acrobat.
Been, and an acrobat.
Yeah, like,
I
she could have
been,
done all these action things.
She's like, I could have been swimming and jumping, and she's like, all I gotta do is scream and twist my ankle.
Yeah.
And that was more of the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't her fault.
You know, even Barbara, who is the female sort of lead,
yeah,
didn't get much action. She had a lot of powerful speeches, and she got to do the sort of emotional talking at the time and the intellectual part. But she didn't really get much action either, because, you know, until the Avengers on ITV, when they had Emma Peel, Diana Rigg, and Honor Blackman, until then there wasn't...
Wait, Honor Blackman?
As in Pussy Galore?
Well, oh, no way.
She was in the Avengers. She was the first of these kick-ass females.
Oh, awesome. I didn't know that.
No, she played Kathy Gale in the Avengers, and she was John Steed's equal. They went out and they did the fight scenes together, and she was the first one that brought in this strong fighting female into TV. And this was a couple of years after, so it's 1965, and until then females were relegated to this talking or screaming role on television.
Yeah, but you can still see it. I mean, granted, I haven't seen that much of Classic Who yet. I'm still in the very early Hartnell years, but you can still see that Barbara is taking on a little bit more of an alpha role. She is taking initiative, she is taking the lead sometimes, making decisions that completely countermand the Doctor's. It is definitely heading in the right direction. Susie, unfortunately, was just a child.
Unfortunately, yes. And you have Carol Ann Ford, who, as shown from all the interviews that she's done, she wanted to do more, but the writers at the time didn't give it to her.
Yeah.
And what a different show that would have been. You know, if you can imagine, it was the Doctor and his kick-ass granddaughter going around, saving the universe. We probably wouldn't have had
Ian,
or the ending to Dalek Invasion of Earth, because Carol Ann Ford's character might have been decided that it was far better, and we would never have had to suffer through Vicky and Dodo.
I haven't seen Dodo. Yet. Oh my god!
We don't know.
Well,
I'm suffering through Vicky at the moment now.
You have the Vicky irritation index, and
which I love.
You have the Dodo boredom index. So
great.
You have to count the amount of times that she talks and you fall asleep.
Who was the one you mentioned yesterday where we were queuing up for about 3 days to get to the screening? The one who screams all the time.
That is Victoria Waterfield.
Played
by
the one we saw the first panel.
Yeah,
that one.
She is absolutely wonderful character though. She's a screamer, but her character is great.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Victorian governess, Victorian lady. So you'll come to her eventually in the Troughton era.
Okay.
And she does scream a lot,
mm-hmm.
but she has a character, and she has personality, and she has great chemistry with Fraser Hines.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Okay. Wait. Shall we move on to Night of the Doctor, Day of the Doctor, if you like?
Yes.
Hang on. Is there anything about the con that absolutely has to be said that cannot be unmentioned?
It was absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the effort that both the convention organisers and the people that went to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was well organised.
Mm-hmm.
The actual day itself, there had been some trouble in the run up. With the organisation, but there was nothing on the day. It was perfect. It was well organised. Mm-hmm. The seating in the theatres was well designed. There was enough seats for everyone. It was both intimate in places where you saw the classic people and the Ians and the Jamies of this world, and you also had this big theatre. And we'll come tonight at Day of the Doctor, but you had this big theatre and watching. Day of the Doctor with 4,000 people.
4,000 people? I'm so sorry that you guys couldn't make it to that. Oh, Peter, I'm really sorry that you couldn't make it to the actual con.
That's fine. Gino went, so that's all that matters. I was sleeping, so I really...
Yeah, all in all, fantastic experience.
Fantastic.
And such a great day.
Yes.
Oh my god, such a good day.
And I got to meet...
you guys!
I was just going to say...
Ponkin and... Gina, and if you don't follow Gina on Twitter, you should. That's @GinaGuerrero1.
Yeah. Took the words right out of my mouth. And JD is @MariusKane. That's Kane with a K. okay, Night of the Doctor, Day of the Doctor. Shall we do it? Let's do it. Night of the Doctor.
There is absolutely nothing that I can say about Night of the Doctor negatively.
Yeah,
at all.
Yes.
Let's just, even though obviously everyone's already seen it at this point, spoiler alert. But yeah, spoiler alert. Go and watch it, pause this, go and watch it, come back, and then listen to the rest of this this podcast.
As an introduction for those that haven't watched it, if you're still listening now, you really... Really, just don't listen any further.
Yeah, don't hold us responsible for any spoilers. Okay, all right. So a 7 minutes mini prequel to the great 50th anniversary episode.
Best prequel ever.
The production value alone was... it was clear. It was in parallel to a feature film or to a proper story, and it had the narrative arc of a proper story within Doctor Who, but it was still just 7 minutes.
For those that... I know that, like, your bite-sized chunk of Who.
Yeah.
In summary, Night of the Doctor is, the Doctor tries to save someone from crashing a gunship into a planet.
But she refuses his help.
And lands on the planet dead. He's brought back to life.
He is given the option of regenerating into a different form.
and we get to see Paul McGann's regeneration into...
another doctor. Quote, unquote.
So diplomatic.
Into, as we shall call him, the new Ninth Doctor.
The new Ninth Doctor, exactly. Now we need to renumber all of these, as you pointed out yesterday, JD.
Yes, we had this conversation as well.
I feel both with the... Okay, yes, with the Night of the Doctor, but also with the Day of the Doctor. Mm-hmm. I feel like almost the order of Doctors and the crossing over to New Who has gotten really fuzzy now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost, it used to be this thing where, oh, this is the Ninth Doctor, that is the identity of that Doctor, that's the Tenth Doctor, and so on and so forth. Now it's all like, wait, and John Hurt's in there now as well, and he's actually the new Ninth, and...
And that was the thing that confused me, because in all the interviews, Stephen Moffat was like, no, the number doesn't change, but after the episode was over...
Yeah, bullshit.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
It does change.
I think we know from everything that Stephen Moffat has ever said that Moffat lies.
Yes.
It is now blatantly that the order that it goes McGann, Hurt,
yeah,
Eccleston. And spoilers for Day of the Doctor. Go and watch Day of the Doctor. Don't listen to us. Just go and watch it now. Spoilers, they say the number 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
they do.
We get to see all 13.
Yes. Yeah, we do.
So
wait. Do we actually get to see him at the end?
He's in there.
He's not the picture at the end.
At the very end, the standing...
The 12. Is he there?
Yes, he was there.
Oh, is he? Oh my God, I gotta go back and freeze frame that.
Because if you look, Matt Smith's in the middle, and, like, 10th Doctor's next to him, and Hurt Doctor, the War Doctor's on the other side.
I think I'm thinking
of Capaldi. I'm thinking of Capaldi.
He wasn't in there.
He's not there.
No.
But we do get to see Capaldi's eyes. Jesus balls, when those eyes just flashed on the screen, 4,000 people just went, oh my God! Collective splooge. It was amazing. Okay.
But Night of the Doctor.
Night of the Doctor.
Yes. It is a great love story to Doctor Who. You know, it's Stephen Moffat has crafted something which the fans adore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is pretty universal acclaim that... The only problem with it is that it's 7 minutes long.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. It could easily have been far longer and no one would have complained.
That's what she said.
Paul McGann is amazing.
He's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this earlier on, that he and John Hurt, they just put the modern Doctor Who's, to a certain degree, they put them to shame.
Mm-hmm.
Because Paul McGann is an entirely different class of actor.
Mm-hmm.
18 years have passed since the Doctor Who movie.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't think he was 18 years older than... No.
He looks great, by the way.
He looks absolutely brilliant. And you get to the point where you're just saying, I don't want him to go.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just forget about the 50th. Let's just have a season at McGann. And he underplays the role perfectly.
Yeah, he
doesn't overact. He is amazingly good in it. So... You know, you get throwbacks in the story. You get throwback to the Time War, which at this point we hadn't heard that much about.
Mm-hmm.
You get a throwback to the Sisterhood of Khan,
mm-hmm.
which had appeared only once before
in
Brain of Morbius.
Which I'd completely forgotten, or possibly not seen.
And the name of the main female character in The Night of the Doctor is very, very similar to the name of the main female character in Brain of Morbius. So there's meant to be, I think there's one letter difference.
Oh, really?
So it's meant to be some sort of...
Do you mean the astronaut who refuses his help?
No. The actual, the sisterhood, the main sisterhood lady.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so they're meant to be some throwback to the sisterhood that he'd met exactly. So there's like a mother-daughter.
Oh, right.
That sort of relationship. So the Sisterhood of Khan and Paul McGann. I can't say a bad word about this.
But there was another side to this as well, which I never would have picked up on. You mentioned this. I have no idea about this. Not yet, anyway. But all of the companions that Paul McGann lists as he is sort of in the process of, or just about to regenerate, he knows that this iteration of his life is going to be over, and he lists all these companions. They're all companions from the audiobook series that he's done.
Absolutely. You know, just when he's given a goblet to make him regenerate,
yeah.
You know...
I want one of those, by the way.
Charlie, Chris, Molly, Tamsin, Lucy, and he says that, and he therefore bringing the 5 audiobook companions completely into Doctor Who canon,
yeah.
Which is amazingly brilliant.
Are they just the Paul McGann Doctor companions?
They are. Mm-hmm. They are the Paul McGann companions. Yes.
But have you listened to all of these as well?
I've listened to a couple of them. Yeah.
So impressed by your level of geekery. This is fantastic.
You know, the sheer fact that after Paul McGann was one of the people who has been keeping Doctor Who alive in the wilderness years, mm-hmm. after you know, Survival and then the movie and then Rose. And to be able to sort of throw back something to Big Finish was amazingly good.
Yeah.
And then you get to see, you know, him regenerate into John Hurt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Young John Hurt as well.
Yeah.
So we now saw one of the missing regenerations. Of course, that creates another missing regeneration from Hurt to Eccleston.
For now.
For now.
Okay, so 15 minutes later, we've covered the 7-minute special. And we get to Day of the Doctor, mm-hmm. which starts off in a very clown-esque manner, in my opinion, compared to what we just saw, which was this incredibly dramatic end mm-hmm. to a life with Paul McGann. A little bit of slapstick with Matt Smith, but it leads to something absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. You know, the start of Day of the Doctor.
Yeah.
Their policeman walking past the Totter's Lane sign, which is and Coal Hill School, mm-hmm. and Clara being a teacher at Coal Hill School. It was like someone had taken an unearthly child and modernised it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that in itself was amazing. Mm-hmm. And the title sequence, which is
I know, it was super reminiscent of original Hartnell years.
Mm-hmm. So you know they were doing this as, you know, nods to the past wherever they could.
Yeah.
And yes, it was quite a change of tone.
Yeah.
And structure.
Would you not?
The story.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Which threw me off a little bit in the beginning. With the flashbacks? Kind of?
Sort of.
Kind
of. Let's not go through the whole plot. Everyone's seen this. We don't have to do the standard thing of mm-hmm. reiterating the plot. Up best point, lowest point, best doctor, middle doctor. What have you gotten from this story?
The numbering is going to be
completely screwed up.
Completely screwed up. I think that's one of the things that came from it. I was like, okay, so this doctor is, so it's not just the war doctor we're ignoring. Now he is the doctor, so.
And sadly, he's going to be remembered as the war doctor anyway, mm-hmm. because they're all going to lose their memory.
Except for the 11th, because it's happening in the 11th doctor's time. The 11th.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
The old 11th Doctor, the Matt Smith Doctor.
The current 12th, yeah.
Because this is his timeline.
So he will remember.
He will remember.
So they don't have to rewrite all of the Eccleston stories to make him less moody.
Yeah.
Matt Smith, from now on, remembers him. Okay. So the numbering was fine up until yesterday. Yeah. And now, you know, overnight, Matt Smith has moved up one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, the numbering is definitely going to change. Mm-hmm. And they have fixated on Capaldi as the 13th Doctor.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that is going to be, therefore, a very interesting time of his life, because that is the last Doctor.
Yeah. Right. And we've also sort of gotten a mission, or the Doctor's gotten sort of a mission. He is now to find Gallifrey.
Only a couple of times before has he ever had a mission. The mm-hmm. Key to Time.
Yes.
Being sent on a quest to find the Key to Time. Apart from that, you know, he's been a wandering adventurer
through
space and time. Mm-hmm. And he's got, you know, the Capaldi Doctor will have this great quest to find Gallifrey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if that's the way that they're moving, I can't really see that's a bad thing, mm-hmm. you know.
I think that's going to be a fantastic thing. Good.
Yes.
It's, while New Who has had more story arc, you know, mm-hmm. Bad Wolf, Trenzalore, it's never had a questing arc. So that this could be a very exciting time. And Moffat didn't lie when he said that it was going to change how the future of Who was.
Yes.
And he did it. And he did it in a way which probably hasn't alienated people.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I think that people deep down, they kind of wanted to have Time Lords back in some way. So having the Doctor try now his quest to find Gallifrey and get in touch with the Time Lords again, I think is going to open up a whole new set of stories that we'll get to see.
So moving forward, it was a great start to the next next 50 years, as Stephen Moffat has said.
Yeah.
And yes, it is. You know, and they're about to have the Christmas special.
Yeah.
And the Christmas special, we know what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about Trent's Law and the battle that happens there that leads up to the name of the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And will bring us, you know, full circle into Peter Capaldi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A mini tangent about the name of the Doctor, and also tying it back to the audiobooks. Is there not a Paul McGann... I only read this, I haven't listened to it. Is there not an audiobook, a Paul McGann audiobook, where we find out what his name is?
No.
Ah, okay. Yeah, screw you, Internet. Okay.
The Doctor calls himself a lot of things.
That's true.
During his time. You know, the main one, John Smith.
Yeah.
And he uses John Smith a lot in the audiobooks. So while I won't do any spoilers, okay, you know, he does call himself a lot of things. So we don't know what the name of the Doctor is. And yeah, to be honest, we probably don't want it.
No. It's one of those things. It'd be so disappointing.
It won't live up to it.
You know, when you realise his name is Bob Rassilon,
yeah,
then you just don't want it.
Right.
Let's move on and watch a new TV show.
Yeah.
Our next podcast shall be watching Blake 7. But, you know...
Don't diss Blake 7.
You know, but the name of the Doctor, it's not important. You know, mm-hmm, the name of the Doctor was more about why he's called the Doctor. Right. His name isn't important.
No. Yeah. Okay, so, sorry, tangent over. Back to Day of the Doctor, what did you think of not Rose?
I was actually kind of happy. I was happy that she wasn't Rose.
Okay.
Rose had a good story, and Rose went off to be happy,
mm-hmm,
with Clone 10,
yes,
the Metacrisis Doctor.
Which is so perverted, by the way.
And she had her story arc, mm-hmm, and, you know, she was brought back as this computer interface stroke bad wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And, you know, she was obviously not playing Rose. Her accent was completely different. Yes.
Oh, that's true.
And she didn't have any scenes with David Tennant.
No.
She
was there.
She was there.
She didn't interact with any of them.
But David Tennant's face when Hurt says, bad wolf girl, thank you. And it's just he realizes that it was Rose's doing
Did
all of this.
Did you say bad wolf?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
This was Rose's doing,
mm-hmm,
in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And the interplay between the three of them.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, you have the Matt Smith Doctor, who is being dissed by the David Tennant Doctor.
And by John Hurt.
And then you have John Hurt dissing them both.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
But especially Matt Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to continue waving your arms around when you talk? Can't talk without doing that. No. John Hurt was amazing.
Yeah, I'm making fun of him later on. It's like, I don't think we have the timey-wimey to do this, or whatever it is he says.
John Hurt was amazing.
He was so good.
He just walked through, and you realise you have, you know, two other doctors that come out of him that are like children compared to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you have David Tennant, who did actually some of his better work in Day of the Doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was obviously still way on form. But you have Matt Smith, unfortunately, who is out-acted by his two predecessors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a
That's
bit...
not necessarily to say that he's a bad actor. It's
nope.
just
yeah.
he's a different kind of actor, and his Doctor, he
more
just chose...
physical comedy.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's a little bit more slapstick. He chose to go in a different direction with,
mm-hmm,
his Doctor.
And the 1 second you have of Peter Capaldi's eyes indicate that he's going to be completely different again.
Yes.
We're taking a lot for this 1 second clip of Peter Capaldi's eyes.
Yeah, but he wasn't like raising one eyebrow sarcastically.
Right.
He looked badass. Mm-hmm. I mean, that it was a serious, mature gaze that he gave us for that one instance. Mm-hmm. But it was. Oh.
So, what about you? What would you say was your favorite moment?
We talked about this a little bit before. I wasn't a huge fan of the whole Zygon subplot. It worked as kind of a plot device, but I think it was given a little bit too much rein. I would have liked to have seen more Dalek stuff, essentially. But my favourite thing about this whole story is that new device of, wait, there's 400 years between them, so if one of them starts something right now, technically, in one instant, they've been doing it for 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was brilliant. I can't believe that we haven't seen... Well, maybe we have seen that and I just don't know about it. But I haven't seen it before, and I was blown away by that. The whole...
Mm-hmm.
That one scene where you get to see... on Gallifrey, they have all the monitors, and you get to see every single doctor before just saying something about, we're running the calculation right now. And it's like, oh my God, for 50 years, this one calculation that they've...
thousand.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, 50 of what our standard Earth years. This calculation has been running through the series, and this is the culmination of it. That was by far my favorite thing of it. But there was also so much fan service, and I love that.
Well, they needed to do that. They had to, because people were hating the episode before they saw it.
Yeah, that's true.
4 months. Which I thought was ridiculous. I'm like, we don't know what's going to be in the episode, so how can we already start judging and being angry about it? I was happy.
What did you think of Tennant's parting words?
That made me sad again.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite doctors, so... I just felt, especially when it was the 11th and 10th Doctors, that I kind of wasn't paying attention to the 11th Doctor too much.
Yeah, and that was...
Don't giggle.
That was noticeable. No, it was noticeable to me. And Tennant isn't even one of my favourite Doctors.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Tennant there, and he is just stealing the scene from Matt Smith. And then John Hurt arrives and steals the scene from the other two.
Yeah.
And that was the way that it worked. You know, both Bad Wolf Rose and Clara had very little to do.
Mm-hmm.
They had bits of things, but they weren't even needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I look at what I thought was good and bad about it, you have bad points, which is the Zygon subplot was almost unnecessary. It introduced a lot of plot points, but it was almost unnecessary. It was like they needed this to be put in. But the good points outweigh it, 100 to 1.
Mm.
You have the pictures on the walls of the unit base. You had, the pictures of Sarah Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You had Brigadier Alistair Gordon Lethbridge Stewart, the sadly late Nick Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
Gemma Redgrave obviously playing the Brigadier's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, name checking him.
Mm-hmm. Which I love the whole name.
Which you got the whole thing. And, that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Anything where John Hurt was worked. The whole Gallifrey arc worked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
It was far...
But it was very, very brief, very flashy.
It was. But if you consider that they made it quite clear that these were the people fighting the war, and the Time Lords that are shown in at the end of time
mm-hmm.
were the ones who were completely out of touch planning things.
Right.
These were the people who were actually down and dirty doing the fighting,
mm-hmm.
and that made it far better
mm-hmm.
than these omnipotent
yes.
Time Lords and Rassilon
mm-hmm.
Who were just planning complete crazy wackiness.
Right.
And then, as if by magic, Tom Baker appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Again, I'm so glad you guys didn't get spoiled. I was sitting
I'm so waiting. Glad, too. How does that work, by the way? What is the logic behind it? How can he have grown old?
You're thinking too much?
Right.
Okay, sorry.
For that cool. scene, right, you can take it a number of ways.
Okay.
Number one, it was all in Eleven's mind. He didn't talk to anyone.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
He was just thinking about the painting. Number two, before the Doctor dies in his 57th regeneration, he revisits some old faces and retires
mm-hmm.
when he can. See,
which is a lovely thought.
Yeah, like
mm-hmm.
like in the way that some of the Doctors have appeared older before in 3 and 5 Doctors. This was where 4 went to retire. Like, 1 went to his rose garden.
Mm-hmm.
And that's possible.
Mm.
Or number 4, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Fair enough.
Right.
Which is
it absolutely doesn't matter.
It does not matter. Not need explanation.
Right.
It's beautiful.
And then he appeared. Or he just happened to be Tom Baker, who now works as a curator.
I like that.
It doesn't matter. Right, that scene, you don't analyse that scene. Right? You have
mm-hmm.
you have the person who is most identified with Classic Who. 7 years he poured his life into it.
Yeah.
And for an entire generation, he was Doctor Who.
Mm.
Standing there talking to the current Doctor. It doesn't matter.
No,
they could have just met in a bar and had a chat, and it would still have been amazing.
Yeah, for the record, I wasn't bringing it up as criticism. I love the fact that Tom Baker was there. Tom Baker was my Doctor as well. And it wouldn't... He had to be in the 50th.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, overall, Day of the Doctor is not an episode where you analyse bits of it.
Right.
You can't. You take it as the only thing you can compare this against is the Three Doctors, the Five Doctors, Silver Nemesis, and Dimensions in Time,
mm-hmm.
which were, respectively, the 10th, the 20th, the 25th,
yes.
and the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know special. Silver Nemesis was a...
It was 25th anniversary.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only compare it to those, and it wipes the floor with them. All of them.
Is this now
together.
Your number one? That's what you were hinting
yeah.
at yesterday.
It, out of Classic Who,
yeah.
Prior to yesterday, it was Turn Left.
Okay.
The Catherine Tate, Bernard Cribbins
mm.
amazing showcase.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to take it as a story
mm.
and analyse it to the nth degree, it would still be Turn Left. If I was to take it as an amazing event, which, irrespective of the story,
mm.
makes you want to cheer at the screen.
Mm-hmm.
There has been nothing in Doctor Who since Rose
mm-hmm.
and, you know, the return after the Wilderness years that has brought this sort of elation. It has to be Day of the Doctor.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
But if you include the Paul McGann minisode in that question,
mm.
the Night of the Doctor...
Might actually top it.
...will top it.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only does that stand up with plot,
mm-hmm.
It shows what we missed after the movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this not having McGann as a full-time doctor,
mm-hmm.
where that went wrong.
Mm.
Right.
It is a beautiful,
yeah.
beautiful thing.
It is, but would you actually consider that a standalone thing? I almost consider it sort of a...
The first 7 minutes of Day of the Doctor.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
it's
that
a
was, it was supposed to be. They were supposed to show it right before. That was the plan.
Yeah, it's essentially, it's a pre-credit sequence
yeah.
type thing.
And I think that was the one thing when we were talking last night after the episode was I was like, if they had the Paul McGann for this, why couldn't we just had him in the 50th?
You know, there's two things that's missing. Let's have Paul McGann in the 50th. And, you know, could Christopher Eccleston not have spent the 2 seconds it would have taken to actually
mm-hmm.
finish the regeneration?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we alluded to earlier in the podcast. We have now all the regenerations because we do see
mm-hmm.
Kurt to Eccleston, and the freeze frame
mm-hmm.
indicates it is Eccleston's face.
Right.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
So we now have all
oh.
of them.
Yeah.
Which for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So that this is a good thing. We have an entire unbroken chain
of
13
yeah.
doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Or at Christmas we'll get the unbroken
we'll
chain.
Get the, yeah.
At the moment, Capaldi's just a pair of eyes.
Yeah.
1 second of amazing eyes.
Hinting at the future. I think we need to start wrapping this up if you guys are to vacate this hotel room in 6 minutes. But, yeah, okay, just have to say, I mentioned this before we pressed record, this special got me so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for assaulting you with a hug yesterday, JD. I mean, I got so emotional by this thing, and to share that with... I'm sorry you guys couldn't make it to that screening, but to share that with 4,000 people was... Like I said, it was the first time I've ever
yeah.
seen that many people, or anyone actually,
mm-hmm.
just giving a screen a standing ovation at the end of it. Ew.
Absolutely. The showing was emotional in Excel. And I was there with my husband, who isn't as big a Doctor Who fan as I am.
He loved it, yes.
And he absolutely adored it.
Yeah, good.
You know, and anything which can elicit that much emotion,
right?
Right, it doesn't matter what the plot is.
Right.
Right. It was something amazing to watch.
Mm.
And, you know, going by the Who Back When scoring system, it is easily that both Night and Day of the Doctor get a full five. Because
mm-hmm.
there is... You have to take how you felt at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, you were giving hugs out.
Yes.
You were very happy, and I was amazingly happy.
Yes.
So, this is amazing.
Smiling. Yes, definitely. I know when we were done, we just couldn't stop smiling at each other. We were just like fulfilled.
Yeah.
Like it had every plot. No plot didn't matter. It's just yes. This is what we wanted. This is what we've been waiting how many years for. And it was like, okay, I'm good now. Definitely.
So thank you for letting us come on your podcast.
Oh my
yes.
God, thank you for agreeing to come on the podcast.
Sure, I'll fly out whenever.
Yeah, yeah. Let's do a special, like in a month or something.
Yeah,
just swing by.
We can fly out to London, no problem.
So we'll see you for the 75th.
Oh, yes. I'm hoping before then.
It's booking for 25 years.
Okay.
Put that in your final facts.
Yeah, thank you so much for agreeing to do this bonus cast, and thank you again for all of your fantastic reviews, and for having arguments on Twitter about who hates which episode the most, and for just being fantastic Doctor Who fans. And JD, again, thank you for just getting us to the con in the first place.
My pleasure.
Yes. Okey-dokey. And thank you, Flappy, for not being able to go, so I could go.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Oh, yeah, for the record, 5.0 for me
yes,
as well.
Yes, me too.
There we go. people, Facebook, Twitter, things. Gina Guerrero 1, Marius Kane.
That's Kane with K.
Yes, it is. Peter, are you on Twitter?
No.
And you can also follow Flappy at One Too Many Mornings, but he probably won't reply yet.
No. I'm at Ponkin. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on iTunes, and just have a really nice day. Okay.
Shyamalan and Ding Dong.
You know what? I don't mind that you just said that. I'm so pleased. I've got nothing. That's the best. People, ciao.
Back when.